listen to a little song on my heart today. It's titled, I Am the Evidence of God's Work Bride.
Amen.
Father Abraham, believe God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Was given a seal of circumcision as confirmation to his faith. He never staggered at the promise of God to have a son, but only believe, for he knew what God said he would do. I am the evidence of God's word bride. She's born of his born. She's flesh of his flesh. She's filled with his spirit. She's life of his life. And one of these mornings, she'll take a body change. God wrestled with Jacob as the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, a light in a burning bush. To Israel, a cloud by day and pillar fire by night. Came on Pentecost like a rushing wind and baptized all of them. I am the evidence of God's word bride. She's born of his born. She's flesh of his flesh. She's filled with his spirit. She's life of his life. And one of this morning, she'll take a body change. Now this trail of evidence is found in my life. I didn't know I was born to be a dwelling place. For I was groping in darkness when the light came to me. He justified, sanctified me, and dwelt himself within. Now I am the evidence of God's word bride. She's born of his born. She's flesh of his flesh. She's filled with his spirit. She's life of his life. And one of these mornings, she'll take a body change. Amen.
Don't, brother James. Amen. Not to. 169, your presence is heaven to me. Amen. Well, I don't even have it in my book. It's missing a page. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sure.
Jesus, you are the God that will undry. Your presence is heaven. brother, but bigger than life, all at the same time. And just a joy to be around and to hang around with. So we went over to Rhode Island, spent a little time over there, had a tremendous time to fellowship, to enjoy each other and the presence of the Lord. And we were both really looking forward. We were hoping we weren't going to be late tonight because we were Rhode Island to here. But we got here in perfect time. And tonight, you know, it doesn't matter who stands up here. We all come to expect to hear from the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But we're blessed tonight to have our precious brother, Brother Loic Trudeau, to be with us this evening and to just to allow the Holy Spirit to use him. And I'm not going to take any more time. I'd like him to come and to just come. I know the Lord's got something in his heart. And Brother Loic, you know, whatever he wants to do, that's how it works. Whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
No limits. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Brother Loic, come on up here as we sing it one more time. His presence. His presence.
Good to be with you guys. Hallelujah. That's family. Yes, it is family. I tell you, I feel so blessed to have a body that is all around. We've been on the road for 5 months. Not exactly on the road, but on the road and stable in some places, and we stay. But we have not been at home for 5 months. And it's going to be good to go back. To be also with the body over there in Quebec, because it's a long time without being in our church. I went back twice, as you know, because my daddy passed away, my papa, and something very wonderful took place, and I believe my dad will be there, and I believe he'll be with us. Sometime, we know, you don't understand, but God is in control, and I just went, and when I went, sometimes during the winter, I went and stayed with him for 6 nights, and I prayed with him. And he was at the hospital, and the hospital was so nice to me. They allowed me to sleep in the hospital, right by my dad, on a stretcher. And I was able to minister. And my dad just had said, I want to die. And he said, disconnect. I don't want to do any more dialysis. I want to die. And I spoke with him, and you have to understand that last summer, we came back quickly because we had a call saying that he was to die. And we moved really fast and respecting the limits. But we moved fast and came back home. And I prayed with him, and he had a dream. Just after I prayed with him the night, he told his wife that he dreamed that he was not needing dialysis anymore. And he was back home. And I said, Dad, your dream seems like it's of God. And I believe it's of God, and it has to happen before you go. But when I went this last, and he went back home, and he told him he was to die, and he went back home, and he didn't die, and he stayed in past Christmas, and he called me back, say, "Hey, Dad has 2 days to live." And I was in Arizona, and I went to Louisiana, and took the plane, and I just did all that, and went with him. And then I stayed with him in the hospital 6 days, and they took him off from dialysis because he wanted to die. And I told him, I said, Dad, do you want to have suicidal assistance? He said, no. I said, why do you ask to die? You should say, thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? I stayed there and I ministered to him. I read the Bible. I prayed with him. And at one point, he started to say, thank you, Lord, for healing. And I said, God is good. And again, the doctor's prediction against science and everything, he went back home. No needing of dialysis. And he lived one more month and a half. And I called him every day, and I prayed with him on the phone. You know what? They need that. And he was so happy. Every time I called, he said, "Dad, now can we pray?" Yes, we pray. And we prayed on the phone. Every time he was so appreciative. And one day I called. I said, "Dad, how are you doing?" Oh, he said, "Son, I'm going to go today. That's it." I said, "Are you serious, Dad?" "Yeah." I said, "That's it. I'm going to go." And I prayed with him, and that very night he passed away. And we went back with Josh, and I was listening to people talking at the funeral home, and I overheard my brother Michel. My brother Michel is a big guy, you know. He's tall, big, you know, in the 60s with a Harley Davidson. They all dream that when they are young, they can do it when they are 60 or 70 or 65, I don't know. But he has his Harley Davidson. He's a big guy, and the kind of guy that will send me a card for us, the family, and with a little heart in the back, "Love you guys," you know, big motorcycle with his, you know, but he's a good guy. But I overheard him. He was talking with another of this buddy, a motorcycle buddy. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I believe it was a miracle. My dad went back home." He never told me that, but he told his friend. And I know it was a miracle. That was the very dream he had. It had to be brought to pass. It had to happen. Because I told him, I said, "Dad," and even when he took dialysis, he stopped dialysis, was to die. But God allowed him to live enough, long enough for Joanna to come from BC and go and went there with the two other girls, and they had a wonderful time with my dad. My dad was happy, he was joyful, he was so glad to see them. And my daughter said, "I don't want to see a corpse," and she had time to come and see my dad when he was alive. And my dad's been so good to my children. He's been such a good grandpa, and my son can be a witness of that. He was such a blessing. And the children loved him. And you know what? I love him too. You do good to my children, you good to me. You know, my dad was more busy when we were there as children, but he had time for my children, and he did take the time, and I appreciate that. And, you know, whatsoever has been done to the smallest of his children, he did it to God. And I believe that my dad will be there. I loved him. And I think everything I ever love will be there. And I believe he will be there. Just a little testimony. I had give part of a bit. And there's people that were not here. But just want to share it with you. I believe he's in his presence. And I'm looking forward to see him. Amen. God is good. Now, I believe that we're going to be blessed. I believe that he's here. I have feel the anointing. I just enjoy the singing. I just appreciate everything. God is good. He's righteous and he's gracious. His grace is just so wonderful. And you know, he's so good, and he wants to bless us in such a way. And if you are careful, if you are attentive, and if you are prayerful, he's going to bless you. What he wants is just want you to understand his love and his mercy, that you may get that freedom that you have a right to. You have a right to be completely free. And that freedom has been bought by a big price. I mean, you think the God of all eternity came down on earth and took a body like yours and mine and just came and suffered a death, a terrible death, that you and I may be free. Free indeed, that we may enter his presence. Amen. Nothing impure can approach him. Nothing. Hallelujah. We have to be perfect to approach him. Now, if you are perfect on your own, you are self-righteous. You cannot be perfect on your own. Those who are vegan, that think that they have the perfectness, or they have the perfect mind, being vegan because of feeding themselves with nothing but vegetable. And they become vegetable. Because it's a religion, brothers and sisters. It is. They worship food. I remember going on, I was hitchhiking, and the guy was, picked me up on hitchhiking. And you know what it is, hitchhiking? Yeah. When you put your thumb like that and make a smile and hope somebody will pick you up. And the guy was just a brand new Christian, brand new Christian. I was reading the Bible, and something had really struck my heart. And the guy was telling me about how important it is to eat well, how important it is to feed your body such good things. And I remember looking at him. I'm a brand new Christian, 19 years old. I said, "You know, sir," I said, "it is not what comes in your body that make it, you know, it's not what comes in your mouth that make you pure. It's what is what come out of it, you know. It's what you say. I know in French, but in English, how do you say it in English? It is not what comes in your belly that it was come. Huh? Yeah, it's what come out of you, ma. And guys, he looked at me and said, where's that wisdom coming from? You know, he couldn't believe a young man. But it was the word. I just quote a verse I had read that day. And I was just, you know what? It's true. It's not what come in. It's what comes out. If God is in you, words of promises, words of blessing will come out. You won't curse. You won't speak evil about somebody. You were blessed. Your mouth were blessed. And you know what? It is what it is. God is looking for somebody that understands who they are. You are perfect in His sight. He looked at you as if you had never sinned to begin with.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's read a verse. I'm going to let the Lord lead me. We're going to be going in Romans 9, 1 to 2. If you want to stand with me, we're going to read that together. I might have spoke a little bit about it, but I'm going to extend on it. And I just want you to follow me as I follow Christ. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Romans 9, 1 to 2. And 2. We'll read also 1 to 3. Paul here. And I want you to understand, Paul is talking here about those who are his fellow brother, are other Jews. And he's crying out for those that are lost, that has not recognized Christ Jesus. He's crying out. Now listen to this here. He said, I see the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let's pray. Father, I have this confidence that you are with us, Lord, right now. I have this confidence that you want to bless your people. You know all things. You know every one of us, the day we had today, every battle that we crossed through, and everything that took place. You know everything, Lord. And our mind, Lord God, is filled with all kind of stuff. Lord, just free our mind. Help us to come and surrender all to your Spirit, that we may both, the one that speak and the one that listen, that we may both be blessed into that anointing, Lord, into that anointing that we may receive from above, something that will help us to keep battling, to keep fighting, that good fight that we have, Father, in Christ Jesus, knowing that you are the great captain, Lord. You are in the front of all our battle. You're always there, oh God, as we understand better and better, Father, you are fighting for us, but yet, there is a fighting, Father, that for every inch we must fight. Father, be with us tonight. Help us to enter in and enjoy the goodness of our Lord. Be with us, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I just want to read it again. I say the truth, Romans 9, 1, 2. That's the King James Version. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, in the English Standard Version, it says this way, that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. That was Paul crying out for his fellow brother. In the flesh. He was crying out for those who were lost. Those who had not seen Christ Jesus. He was crying out for those who were persecuting him. Those who were ready to throw rocks at him and kill him. Those who were ready to put him in jail. Because he was one of them doing it to others before. Think of it, he was persecuting the very body of Christ. When he fell from that horse, who are you? Who are you, Lord? I am Christ that you persecute. He was persecuting the really one that he was thinking serve. He was thinking he was serving God. He was persecuting him because of what? Because of being blind. Because of not having the revelation of who Christ was. He was doomed by his own intellectual. He was doomed by his own thinking that he was doing the righteous thing. Putting people to death, thinking doing a service to God. You know what? I'm thankful that Stephen said, don't impute them that sin. Don't impute it to him. Because he was there, brother and sister. He was holding his coat when they were killing him. Think of it. But Paul, he had an anguish. He had a sorrow in his heart because he knew that if nothing would take place, they would die in their sin. He cared about these people. He truly did care. Come with me. We'll go in Nehemiah. And like I said, it's a follow-up. Let's go in Nehemiah. We don't preach often on with Nehemiah, but I have been reading it and I enjoy it. Nehemiah. That Nehemiah, actually, he was in the day of the king Artaxerxes. I don't know how to say it, but it was a king, a Gentile king. But he was in those days, and he had seen Israel that had been destroyed, and he had seen people which was the remnant, and they were there in Israel or in Jerusalem, and all the world, the walls were down, the doors were burnt, and they realized that, hey, our God is mocked. How God is mocked because we are surrounded by ruins, ruins. There's ruins all around us. We are surrounded by ruins. He said, look, the God of Israel. Look, the God of Israel. Look what they are. What they, and they were mocking them. Let's read Nehemiah. And we're going to go and understand Nehemiah said, means Jehovah comfort. It means Jehovah comfort. And there's a reason why he had that name. All names are given for a reason. Amen? Right. Okay, Nehemiah 1:3. And they said unto me, now that's the remnant. They said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard, verse 4, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servants, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandment, nor the statute, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandment and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the utmost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto place, the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servant and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayers of thy servant and to the prayers of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He was the man that was serving the wine to the king, a Gentile. He was a pagan king. He was not a Christian. He was not a believer. I mean, he was not a Jew. But the king looked at him as he came, and he saw that he had been sad. He said, Nehemiah, you're always happy when you serve me. What's going on? Why are you sad? Why are you having a long face? And he's telling him, you know what? My people, how can I be happy when my people are in Jerusalem and all the walls are down and the doors are burnt? They are among ruins. They are just sad. They are mocked. And the king made a way where he provide everything. He told Nehemiah, go ahead. I give you time. And whatsoever you need, I'll provide it for you. Now, understand, a heart that comes in anguish before God, a heart that cry out before God, there will be an answer. God is willing to answer more than we are willing to be answered. We are not willing to stay on our knees, on our face long enough to see an answer. There's too much entertainment around us to help the wrong way, to miss or make us miss the high calling. Man, now, anguish. I want to give you a little bit, I would say, an explanation about anguish. The Bible speaking about anguish. And we know anguish is something that is painful. There's something that is something within us. It's a travail. It is an agony. And think of Jesus in Luke 42 or 44. And think of him as he was in the garden. He was in agony. And that agony was so hard, an anguish so hard, that he started to have blood coming off of his forehead. Think of that. An agony. Yeah. An agony where you and I, we can enter in God's heart and we can understand his will and we can become useful for his kingdom. Yeah. An excruciating pain or a distress. A sorrow of the heart. An anguish. Ezekiel 9:4, don't need to turn. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the man that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. We see much ruins around us. And understand, the ruins that are around us can be two things. It can be circumstantial. Things that happen because they happen. And it can be caused by wrong choices. Because you made the wrong choice. Because you decide to do something that you want to do and that was against God's will. And when you do that, you have to clearly make a decision to cut yourself from God. Because if you are to do something that is against his word, you have to almost think in your head that God doesn't exist. That God is not there. He doesn't see you. And I have an example for you, and you know that example. Think of David, a man after God's own heart. He took willfully a decision to put God aside and take Bathsheba and have an affair with her. And then have a man come back, Uriah, and have him come back and try to make him lay with his wife. And that man, which was a Gentile, loved David. And he would not lay with his wife knowing that there was people dying in the front, in the battle front. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to go back to fight for Israel, fight for David. He loved David. And David, a man after God's own heart, and when you think that he give after when he saw that he could not do anything to have the man do something that will make him believe that the child was his, when it was David, he gave him a letter. Give that to your captain. It was sealed with a king's seal. And that very letter was his death. It was his condemnation. It was his death. Cold blood murder. David had him killed. By telling to his captain, when you go in the front, Have him in front, far, and have all the other men back off. Let him be by himself to be killed. And it worked. But God's grace, God's amazing grace, by the way of a true prophet, Nathan, he came to see David and told David, David, I have a story for you. David said, what? I'm all ears. I want to hear your story. There was a man that had 1,000 sheep. And another man that had 1 sheep. And the man that had 1,000 sheep managed to have the man that had 1 sheep to be killed. And he took that sheep from that man. And David, in a wrath, said, such a man should die! He spoke his own condemnation. He spoke his own judgment. And Nathan, by the way of a true prophet, told David, try to be at this place. David, that man is you. You have done that. You have done that. And then David realized that he was surrounded by ruins. He had ruins all around him. And he cried out, and he went into the hash, into the cloth and hash. I don't know how you said it in English. Ashes and sackcloth. And he cried out, and he just put himself into a mode of humility. And he prayed and prayed. Bathsheba lost a baby, and we know all about that. And then he came out of it. And God used David in such a way, all through his writing, he saw God's mercy in that very moment, and God forgave him for what he did. And we see that all through the writing of the psalm, it transpired what he went through. But it had to be coming to himself, back to himself, realizing what he had done, and truly come and say, oh, I am so sorry for what I did. I was so stupid. And understand, Jesus' lineage had to go through Beersheba. And people sometimes miss that. But I do believe that David would have had Beersheba. I do believe some way, somehow, Uriah would have been killed. Because Jesus had to come through that lineage. Mary had to be, Joseph had to be going through that lineage. And I do believe by God's perfect will, it would have happened. But David lost after something that was not his yet. But he paid a price. And those ruins were caused by a lust of the flesh. As long as a man doesn't come to himself, he will stay in those ruins. Because those ruins can be sickness, can be things that are lost. And they, you know, it can be all kind of stuff that happens to you. But you have to realize, you have to come to yourself. You have to know that there is something around you that is not right. It can be your children, it can be your family, your wife, it can be your husband. But these ruins can be changed. Israel was rebuilt. Jerusalem was rebuilt by the way of God blessing them through a man that went into a time of anguish. What is missing among us is that anguish of the heart to cry out before God and ask, oh God, have mercy. Let it be that I may see your hands once more. The power of God among us. He is more than willing to bless us. He is more than willing to give us what we need. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you go through. You are soldiers. And soldiers goes to the battle. Only true love will carry true faith. And only true faith will position you on the battlefront. Then the devil hate it. That faith is the faith of Christ. It is God giving you strength through the battle, because it is not your battle. It is His. Through you, He will fight for you. He is more willing to fight for you than you are willing to let Him fight in you. We are missing so many blessings because we're trying to fight with our own strength when we don't have our strength. People are facing situations and say, oh, can I get out of there? I will try just to walk away. No, be honest. Say, God, I cannot walk away from it. If you don't help me, I won't get out of it. He's waiting for honesty. He's waiting for a heart that will come in anguish and ask, help me, oh God. If you don't, I'm lost. I will miss the very reason why you have called me out for. There's a rapture, brother and sister. There's a going home. There's a change of the body. He wants us to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He wants us to have his spirit, to have his life. And to be abiding in him and let him abide in us. If you abide in him and he abides in you, you'll see power, you'll see things happening in your life. He's waiting to see that. You are waiting to go into that anguish in order to enter that secret place. Because there is a secret place. And that secret place is as real as you and I, and even more real, because you and I, all this is not really real. The only thing that is real is your soul within. It is your soul within. It is that very, very soul that is within. That is real. And God has placed one thing in front of you, his own life. And he said, without my life, you will go nowhere. Without my spirit, you will not go anywhere. It is the token place within your life, which is the Holy Spirit that will give you strength to go through. Without that token, you will go nowhere. Come on, brother. You know what? I see the world impacting the church more than the church impacting the world. This is sad to say. Everywhere we are bombarded from every side. Everything is coming against us. And if we're not careful, if we don't listen to what the Spirit says, we'll listen to what our flesh said. Our flesh like things that are against the Spirit. Our flesh like things that are against God. David loved Bathsheba before he should have ever loved her. He should have been so respectful. That is a woman, a wife of another man. I should not even lay my eyes on her. Amen. That's it. She's not mine. She'll maybe someday, if God wants, but even there, he should have never even go that way. Because what? It was lost. It was lost that carried him away. It was lost that brought all that misery upon him. But God, rich in mercy. Anguish, a deep inner pain, because of condition you face, because of things that are happening in your life. You know what? I was thinking of Sister Jenny. I've been praying for her. And I know that going through what she's going right now, it is not easy. She's been a warrior. She's been a soldier. She's been there at the prayer meeting. She's been faithful. I always loved her, always care about her. And I know she's been troubled. Because sometimes you wonder, why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to lose a leg or lose my toes, lose my legs? Why do I have to go through that? I've been serving God for so many years. And brother and sister, John the Baptist thought the same thing. When he was in jail and they were tormenting him, and he knew that probably death was at the door. He asked him, are you the one that is to come, or do we have to wait for somebody else? He had lost. He's lost his vision. Our sister needs to be surrounded more than ever. She needs love. And that true love would bring faith. She needs help. I'm telling you, we are soldiers, and we need one another. It is what it is. We need one another. We need to pray. We need to enter into an anguish, asking God, God, what can I do in order to be a blessing into that vision you have for our sister? What can I do, oh God, into that situation? You know what? It will bring true love. Will bring true faith. Will bring true result. And I need to see that in each and every one of our life. It is what it is. Without anguish, there's no result. If you're in a time of your life where you're down as down can be, he can raise you up. Understand, David went so low. He went so low. Yet God had a purpose. Yet God, out of his permissive will, brought his perfect will. And David was used through the Old Testament, the Psalm, in order to write. And you can see that all that mercy is transpired through the Psalm. And it speaks to your heart because he went through something. And even in Psalm 51, when he said, did he sin against Uriah? Did he sin against Bathsheba? Did he sin against the family of Uriah? No. He said, against God and God alone have I sinned. It was against God and God alone that he sinned. When you do something, it's against God and God alone. It is for us to not take, like, oh, why did he do that to me? And start to be hurt. The ability of a Christian to not be hurt is of the Spirit of the Lord, to not let a consequence or not let a situation make you feel like, why does it hurt me? And get an attitude. Right. That's a gift from God, the gift from above, to not let things come and bother you. Yeah. And instead of that, being able to pray for that person, then you become useful for his kingdom. Now, We all have things of the past that we can hold on. And we are comforted by those things. Oh, this happened to me there. This happened to me there. And it comforts us for spiritual things that happen. But you know what? It is not what we are looking for. Only the past. Nothing wrong. And the Bible is clear. Put all your blessing before you. It is good to speak about it. It is good to testify about it. But you know what? We need to not only find our comfort there. Because you know what? Also people will say, oh, great things are ahead. Great things are coming. We are seeing and looking for great things to happen. And they're missing what's happening right now. I want to read something for you. It's in the Message. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthy bride. He said, now, in Ephesians 1:10, it's called. Now, if you're putting it down, Ephesians 1:10, I want you to go and put it down. Ephesians 1:10 is called not a dispensation, not the seventh day. It's called the fullness of time. And when the fullness of time has come, that's when time has been fulfill. Now, understand, we are in time. We are in time. We are prisoner of time. This body, it's not my cacophony. You understand? It's not holy. It's not, you know what? You understand. This is flesh. We are caught in time. Time is all around us, and we are running for time. We're dying for time. We're living for time. And listen to what he says. And when the fullness of time has come, that's when time has been fulfilled. When there is no more time, then you go into eternity after the seven church ages is over. You go into eternity after the seven church ages is over. And it is. He said, and it is. Brother and sister, you have a privilege. We have a privilege to be in a dimension where nobody else can. We have a privilege to enter into eternity where there's no more time. Sometimes people are misunderstanding what is the seventh church age. The seventh church age is a time where people are so lukewarm. I was listening to a program, Christian program, when I was in Florida, and they were showing young people with music, and young people were all like this. I've seen that in Africa, you know. But they were not Christian. And they were all dancing with a music that was shady. And I thought, wow, that is what Brother Branham saw. when he saw that church and said, is it what all of us ministers as produce? The church of the living God? And right after that, the music was really shady, really rocky. There's a minister that came forth and said, oh, God is so good. You see those young people, they are worshiping God. And you know what? I'm sure when the music stopped, they stopped. Because they do that for the music. It is not godly. It is not of God. It is the flesh. They are entertaining themselves. They are going there for entertainment. We don't want to have entertainment. We want to have an experience with the God that created all things, heaven and earth. We want to enter into that fullness of time. We want to enter into the call we have received. We want to be applying the token, which is the Holy Spirit, entering into our life, manifesting Himself, which is Christ Jesus, on display. What is it? It is the life of Christ. You become His hands. You become His feet. You become His eyes. You become His whole life. Why? Because He wants that. He said, I have planned everything to manifest a bride at the end time to prove the devil wrong. And the devil will do everything he can to make you miss the best time of all. This is the best time of all. A bride will be manifest. A bride will enter into that chamber. She will enter into that secret place. She will enjoy the presence of the Lord in such an intimacy. And she will commit because she knows that her Lord commit. Her Lord commit Himself unto death. He went all the way. Are you willing to commit yourself all the way? There's a price to be paid. And Brother Bram speak about it. People think that, oh, it's going to happen. No, there's a battle. The battle is to take every promise and go forward. Take His word and believe Him. And just if you don't, God, increase my faith. Increase my understanding that I may grab not only myself, but left and right, somebody that is lost. Because when you care about somebody, you truly enter. If you are truly entering that anguish for that person, you'll be useful. I would say this. Every true revival in somebody's life is born of an anguish, is born of a sorrow of the heart, is born of a heart that travail, that painfully travail. And that becomes God's heart. And God knows what you're going through. And before you can even ask a request, He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going to ask for. The problem is that people are just, Lord, give me this, and give me that, and give me that, and give me this, and give me that, and give me that, and give me this, and give me that. God is just wanting, love me. Love me. I know what you need. Love me. I care about what you need. Love me. And turn to my presence and love me. Meet my needs, as I said before. God wants us to meet His needs. God has needs. Yes, He needs to be worshipped. He needs to be adored. He needs to be loved. He needs to be exalted. He needs to be recognized as the only God. That there is no other God beside Him. That anything else is a pagan thing. It's an idol. Just want to share something with you here. In the message, desperation. He said, I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love. The love of God. There's no desperation because it's a lack of love. The love of God. I think that the love of God caused desperation. If God is in you, the token inside of you, and you see the condition of time and people waiting in sin the way they are, it'll throw you into desperation. I believe it will. And a little further in that same message, he says, and that's the same thing that it is. We must have love before we can have faith. And faith, when we have genuine love, what does it do? It push our faith out on the battlefront for God. See? Genuine, godly love for God and for His Word and for His people will push faith out there. Love, just take a hold of faith and just come, let's go. I like that. And out it goes, because that's what love does. Let's go. Let's go. And you don't go there with your own thinking. You go there knowing that God is with you. God is in you. Because you are doing what is pleasing unto Him. And as I said, entering that secret place makes you just fall again and again in love with Him. Because without loving Him, you cannot love your brother properly. You cannot. Without commitment, you cannot love your wife properly. It needs a commitment. A commitment, it's something deep within you that you know that if you don't do, you are the most wrong person on earth. If you do it, you are what you're doing, what God is asking you to do. Commitment. To commit in order to serve. To commit in order to please God. To commit in order to do what's right in all things. To commit in order to be honest. To be proper in all things. To commit in order to do what God wants you to do. Commit yourself. I remember talking to that young man that was going with my daughter, and I told him, I said, only if you commit yourself, you'll be able to commit to my daughter. And he went wacko. And he never did commit. And they're not together anymore. It's finished. And he called me and said, I should have listened to you. I should have commit. But I know I saw a lot of suffering. My daughter suffered from that relationship. And I told my daughter, you're going to suffer. You don't want your children to suffer. But I told her, you're going to suffer. If he doesn't commit to Christ, you'll suffer. And I'm not pleased with her suffering. I'm hurt because I see he tried to commit suicide right in front of her. It's not fun. And when you think your daughter is in that mess and you realize, oh my goodness, what could I do? I tell you, I did a lot of praying. And I asked the Lord to really put his hand. I was praying. I didn't even know why. That, and I find out that it was really not going well. But God is good. And I do believe my daughter is my promise. Sometimes it takes a lot of pain that they have to go through, and they make us go through too. True. Because parents look at their children, they're suffering, and they think if they would only listen to us. We have known things a little before them. If they would have only listened to what we have to say, they would not have to go through those painful times. But stubbornness. And she was one of those vegan, thinking that now she had found something that would give her something. Great understanding, a clear mind. I saw only dark cloud. Now another in desperation. O church, rise and shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. O church, rise and shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. Wake yourself. We must be desperate or perish. There's coming forth something from the Lord. I know it as thus saith the Lord. There's coming forth something, and we better get desperate. It's between life and death. And it'll pass through us, and we won't see it. And I can tell you this, that anguish, if it is not between death and life, if you don't go into that secret place, you'll miss the very purpose of your life, guys. God said He won't lose one. And He said also, what He starts in you, He will finish it. You have to come into this base. Lord, you said you will finish it. I feel like I'm in ruins. I'm in ruins. There's things around me that are just like ruins around me. You have to do something. And he will do something. If you cry out, he will come down. He will make things clear for you. He will. He's waiting for you to cry out. He waits for you to sigh and cry before him. He's waiting to see you. Take him at his word. And be on the battlefront and fight for yourself, for others around you. There's a fight taking place. And if we don't see the fight, we are defeated. It's because you're defeated if you don't see the fight. Every day, you're going to have to fight for every inch. Every inch. We're not in the millennium yet, as some preached. We're not in the millennium. If this is the millennium, I missed something. No. But God knows. I am in eternity. I am in eternity. I bypass millennium right now. I am in eternity. I am a son of God. I have seen what he has done. He has made for me an understanding that the fullness of time, and millennium is still in time. Understand that millennium is still in time. We have a right to eternity now because you are bride. You are bypassing the millennium in the sense that you bypass time because you have recognized who you come from and where you're going back. You know you're a bride. You know you applied the token. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and makes you a son and a daughter of the living God manifest in this dying generation. And your life become to some to death and to others to life. Because someone look at you and judge you and hate you for what you are. They look at Jesus and said, you call yourself the Son of God? You'll die for that. Oops. He called himself Son of God. He said, hey, your word said, your Torah said, you are God's. He knew who he was. And now they will say, you call yourself bride? You'll die for that. They'll kill you. They want to kill you for that. But because if you have their true understanding of what is the bride, that your position, and no devil can come against you. They can come and tempt you. But they can come and defeat you. I want to read you a little quote. I like this one. I read it lately, and I really thought it was good. Satan was, or will be taken from the earth, just exactly like Satan was taken from you. He will be taken. Talking about the millennium, exactly like it was taken from you. Satan was taken from you. Taken from you. Satan cannot bother, or he can't. He can tempt. He can tempt, but he cannot get a born-again Christian. He cannot get a born-again Christian. For God, from the foundation of the world, foresaw you and sent Jesus to redeem you. And the blood speak for you. How can he sin when it can't be seen even by God? How can you sin when it cannot be seen even by God? You cannot sin. It's why a Christian cannot sin. Because God cannot even see it. How can he see his sin when it can be sin seen even by God? He don't even. The only things he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. Amen. That is true. Made me think of the story of the donkey. Have you ever heard the story of the donkey? You did? Who did? That's another donkey. Have you heard the other one? No, another one. It's another donkey. I'll tell you the story. It was in Israel. It was after that the Lord came and died and resurrected from the dead. And there was a Messianic Jew. And he was going through Israel and he was crossing a river, which was very powerful river. It was a lot of water, a lot of... As he crossed, he was trying to cross, the donkey came to a halt. And he was pulling that thing, and he didn't want to get out. He didn't want to cross. He was just, ah! Yes, people like that. But he just got so upset after the donkey. He said, you're going to cross or I'll kill you. And the donkey, And finally, he just slapped the thing so hard, the thing fell, and all his good on the donkey went with the current. Then, oh boy, there was no hands and feet enough for the donkey to be beat up. And that poor thing. And he finally pulled the donkey on his side. And the donkey was floating and just pulled the donkey on the side. And the donkey went back on his leg. And he took the donkey all the way to a tree and attached it. And he lay by the tree. And then, as he was down, he was just crying, realizing, God, I have such a temper. Forgive me for what I have done to that donkey. Forgive me, Lord. And he fell in a deep sleep after that. He was praying. And then he had a dream. And he saw God coming to him. And the Lord come to him and he said, oh, Lord. And the Lord said, hi, how are you doing? I'm not doing fine at all. He said, why? He said, don't you remember what I did in the river to my donkey? My faithful donkey that's been bringing me from one spot to the other for 10 years. He said, what donkey? What river? Don't you remember? I hit that thing so hard it fell in the water in my stuff. What? Water? What? Hit? And he was just kind of wondering, what? What? Don't you remember? I crossed and after that I went to the tree and I asked you forgiveness. I remember that. That's the only thing I remember. That you asked me forgiveness. The rest, I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. It is in the sea of forgetfulness. That is how God is looking at you. It's like if you had never sinned to begin with. It's why a Christian sin not. God doesn't see it as long as you come faithfully ask him daily, God, forgive me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So simple. You'll remember the story of the donkey. I never told that story before here. Thank you, Lord, for the donkey. I'd like to close. I don't want to be much longer. I know there's people that are tired. But I would like to close with this here. In the presence of God, unrecognized. Look at the day we're living in. What's promised for this day? Where are we? We've moved on up. The pillar of fire moves, and the children of Israel move with the pillar of fire. Or they went back to Egypt. We have got to move with the word. And today, we're getting so slothful. The church is getting so worldly and so indifferent and so their minds so muddled up with television and We Love Susie and some of these old things and Staying Home that shows where the people's heart are. And you can tell them these things are wrong and they think you're crazy. What is it? Lover of pleasure. More than lover of God. See? Oh, the greatest pleasure, and I want you to really listen here. Oh, the greatest pleasure I know of is to be to pray until I can realize that I am in the presence of God and recognize it. I'm telling you, if you pray till, you'll recognize it. It won't be, oh, washing machine is stopping. No, you'll stay there till, and you'll recognize what it is, that secret place. I think that ought to be the thrill of the church, is the presence of the Holy Spirit, seeing the God that made the promise standing among us. Feel His presence, and see His word, and see it vindicated. It ought to give faith to make cripples walk. Blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak. Seven promise God is giving us. I'll be with you. I'll protect you. I will be your strength. I will answer you. I will provide for you. I will give you peace. I will always love you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, there's so much going on around us, Lord. What we want is more of you, Lord. We want more of your presence. We want to be challenged in our heart to better serve you, Lord. To wait till. To pray and wait till. There is still room, Father, to consecrate, to give you that place you deserve, Lord. For you have needs, Lord, and those needs are so clear to me that you need to be worshipped. Father, God made object of worship. Father, we want to be among those who truly know what it is to worship you, to adore you for who you are, for what you have done, Father, for the blood that's been shed at Calvary, to recognize that the God of all creation live in us and love us and care about us. Father, help us to have that understanding deep within our heart that you want to live in us, that the token is your life in our life, O God, that you want to be manifest through us, O God, to this dying generation, that you want to be on the display, O God, once again, that we just need to understand, Father, that we have been made perfect in your sight, and that you want to use us, Father, for the final battle that is ahead of us, Lord. You want to use your bride, O God. Let us be filled with faith in order to go to the battlefront, Lord. Let us come with that sling you gave us, that faith, Father. Let us have, Lord, an understanding of all that you want us to do. Lay aside everything. Lay aside any entertainment. Lay aside everything in order to serve you, Lord. Father, help us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask, Father, to help us. Lord, please help us. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. Josh, I don't know if you want to do this for this. I'll let you, brother. Thank you. God is good. God bless you guys.